This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area, Thursday, April 25th, 2013. Officers from several law enforcement agencies, including the Western Colorado Drug Task Force and the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration, spent most of Tuesday and Wednesday arresting the alleged top members in a group of 36 people named in a grand jury indictment returned earlier this month. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports they are accused of various roles in a drug organization that was selling pounds of methamphetamine and cocaine in Mesa County and being supplied by a source in Mexico. An unknown number of individuals were still wanted late yesterday. According to the 47-page grand jury indictment obtained Wednesday by the Sentinel, the organization, accused of crimes dating back to December in Mesa and Garfield counties, was brought down by surveillance, including court-authorized wiretaps, clandestine poll cameras, and confidential police informants. The alleged kingpin, Francisco Peralta Cabral of Meeker, was arrested late Tuesday and is being held on a $1 million cash-only bond at the Mesa County Jail. He was indicted on two counts of racketeering in violation of Colorado's Organized Crime Control Act, two counts of possession with intent to distribute more than 1 kilogram of a controlled substance, distribution of a controlled substance, and two counts of conspiracy. According to the indictment, Peralta Cabral, or Pancho, Jose Zepeda Osuna of Rifle, who was also known as Primo or Primito, and a third suspect, Bricia Jaso Diaz, arranged for the purchase of meth or cocaine and imported it into the United States through an individual known only as Kane in Mexico. The 36-person drug bust was thought to be the largest in Mesa County since 2006, when dozens were jailed and later imprisoned after being linked to a group headed by Stephen Parsons of Grand Junction. For more on this story, check out today's Grand Junction Daily Sentinel. A new report raises serious concerns about the online database used by 11 states to track the chemicals used in fracking. According to the Associated Press, the Harvard Law School report says FracFocus, a reporting site formed by industry groups in 2011, has loose reporting standards, makes it too difficult for states to track whether companies submit chemical disclosures on time, and allows for inconsistency in declaring chemicals used as trade secrets. Colorado, Pennsylvania, Louisiana, and Oklahoma are among the states that require companies to divulge fracking chemicals through FracFocus. A spokesman for the Colorado Department of Natural Resources told the Denver Post Tuesday that expected improvements to the database will help ensure accurate and timely reporting soon. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that Garfield County is holding a community meeting Monday about the ongoing investigation into hydrocarbon leak investigation near Parachute. Representatives from the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, Garfield County Public Health, and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency will attend to answer questions, review each agency's role in the investigation and cleanup process, and address potential public and environmental health concerns. The event will be at 6 p.m. at the Grand Valley Fire Protection District building in Battlement Mesa. Those unable to attend may contact County Oil and Gas Liaison Kirby Wynn at 970-625-5905, and he will ask questions on their behalf and send them answers later by email. I'll post that contact information on the KVNF website after this morning's news. Williams says thousands of gallons of natural gas liquids leaked from a faulty pressure gauge on a pipeline leaving its gas processing plant near Parachute. Benzene has been discovered in groundwater and in Parachute Creek. The Craig Daily Press reports that the Craig City Council is pondering a citizen's request to require heads of households to have a modern sporting rifle capable of accepting high-capacity magazines. Craig resident Craig Rummel proposed the idea at Tuesday night's council meeting, acknowledging that he intended it mainly to send the message that new laws and regulations are hurting the Northwest Colorado community's economy. According to the Daily Press, Rummel said coal, power, and hunting are the area's lifeblood, and all three are under attack by lawmakers. Rummel said trips by county leaders to talk to lawmakers have been ignored, including their opposition to a measure that would increase renewable energy mandates on rural electricity cooperatives from 10% to 25% by 2020. Council members questioned how such a law would be enforced, but they didn't reject the suggestion outright. Rummel's proposal includes exemptions for those not physically or mentally capable of operating a firearm, those financially unable to afford buying a firearm, people convicted of felony, and residents who oppose owning a firearm for religious or other personal reasons. Mayor Terry Carwile postponed the decision but left the door open to further action, saying, "There is enough support up here of what you are saying, and I think there's room for you to convince us." The Denver Post reports that the Senate on Wednesday gave initial approval to a proposal to allow the state to form its own air fleet to fight blazes such as those that occurred in 2012, the most destructive wildfire season in Colorado history. Senate Bill 245 would create a Colorado Firefighting Air Group, or Air Corps, I should say, or CFAC, under the state's Department of Public Safety. But the bill was amended in a Senate Appropriations Committee to make the funding discretionary instead of mandatory. Some senators are scheduled to meet with Governor John Hickenlooper Friday to see if there's a way to hash out the funding situation. According to the bill's fiscal note, it would have cost Colorado about $30 million over the next 3 years just to get the effort started. The fiscal note includes costs for three large air tankers and three tactical planes. The state counts on a fleet of U.S. Forest Service aircraft that, in the past decade, has grown significantly smaller and can be stationed in other states several hours away. For instance, the closest tanker to Colorado this weekend was in Missoula, Montana. Quoting Stephen King, the Republican from Grand Junction, who is the bill's prime co-sponsor, "This is the most important legislation of my career." Business leaders, including representatives from more than 100 ski resorts, want Washington to do something about climate change. That's the message signed by business heavyweights like Nike and Starbucks, as well as the Aspen Skiing Company and smaller outfits like Monarch Mountain. And it comes after athletes delivered a letter to the White House with a similar theme. Aspen Public Radio's Elise Thatcher reports.
Climate change is the biggest economic opportunity of the 21st century, and it's the right thing to do.
That's Auden Schindler, Aspen Ski Co.'s Vice President of Sustainability. He's summing up what's called the Climate Declaration, one long paragraph that business leaders are using to get lawmakers' attention.
To have Starbucks say, "We're here, it's a business case, we're worried about our coffee, and we employ huge amounts of people," that's a message policymakers listen to.
And the same goes for large ski areas, too. Schindler says you only get so far by upgrading to more efficient company light bulbs. To make a real difference, he and other business representatives believe what's needed is a nationwide approach to cracking down on climate change. So why hasn't that happened yet?
You have to have corporate visibility on climate in Washington, or lawmakers won't move. They aren't moving now because they're not getting enough push from constituents.
Aspen Ski Co. is one of dozens of ski areas that have signed on. The effort is put together by Ceres, a Boston-based nonprofit, aimed at getting companies and investors to do more to slow climate change.
We are really excited about the Climate Declaration. It sums things up very well in a way that resonates with ski areas.
Geraldine Link is with the National Ski Areas Association. The organization coordinated more than 100 ski areas signing on with the Climate Declaration. Link says there's a key reason reason why.
It identifies climate change as an economic priority.
Link also points out that while Aspen Ski Co. has been politically outspoken before the declaration, they're not alone.
Ski areas have endorsed, for example, the McCain-Lieberman bill, the Gilchrist-Olver bill, the Climate Stewardship Act.
That's a long list of climate legislation.
However, I'll also say that when you go to Washington to lobby on an issue, you have to have credibility. So if you're reducing your own carbon footprint back at home, you are in a much better position to advocate to policymakers.
The National Ski Areas Association is working with 20 resorts to monitor and reduce greenhouse gases. One of those is Vail Resorts, which runs the most skiable terrain in the country. CEO Rob Katz raised eyebrows at the beginning of the season with an opinion article in the Denver Post. He said, quote, "You can count me out of the group that says we need to address climate change to save skiing." That was along with an ad in the New York Times playing on the term climate change and showing lots of snow. If that created any confusion, Beth Gans is clear about the company's position. She's VP of Public Affairs and Sustainability for Vail Resorts.
We believe, as I know many others do, that climate change is one of, if not the most important issues facing the world today. But we don't believe that climate change is an issue simply because the ski season could get shorter.
Gantz says the larger effects on the planet as a whole are more important. Vail believes that so strongly it hasn't run any models looking at when or if the company might run out of snow.
I think we're focused on the here and now and what we can do to do our part today. That is our sincere commitment to creating a true culture of sustainability across the company, involving thousands of employees in lessening our impact.
Vail has also signed on to the Business Coordinated Climate Declaration. Aspen's Auden Schendler says the roster needs to be longer.
And we need GE, and we need the even bigger companies. We have Intel in there, but we need more huge ones. But it's a start.
And if any of those executives need convincing, Aspen Highlands and a few other Colorado ski areas will be open for a little longer this season. For Aspen Public Radio News, I'm Elise Thatcher.
Thus concludes this morning's newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria. Good day.